So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 19 about Jesus meeting Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Let's ask God now to open our hearts and speak deeply to us in the next few moments. Father, we believe that when we listen to you, our almighty, holy, wonderful God, that we not only take in the words that you speak to us from the scriptures, the Bible, but that you also, Father, interpret those words for us. You bring them to life. You expose their meaning, and you draw us deeper into who you are and who your Son, Jesus Christ, is by your Holy Spirit. And we just pray for that now, that you would speak to our hearts for your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. There are a lot of small people in this world. People who wish they were bigger, stronger, more happy. Actually, I suppose that includes all of us, doesn't it? Every one of us is trying to climb a little higher, make our lives a little better. If you're such a person this morning, guess what? Jesus is looking for you. In the same way that he was looking for a small man long ago in Palestine, in a city called Jericho. Listen to the historical record recorded in the Bible. You have it there in your laps. We'll put it on the screen. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus, just passing through. He had no plans to stay in Jericho. But Jesus did have a plan. He was looking for a certain resident of Jericho named Zacchaeus. Look at verse 2. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Jesus had never met Zacchaeus personally, I don't think. But Jesus knew Zacchaeus. Jesus had this supernatural ability of being able to look into human hearts and see our deepest desires and our darkest secrets. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And Jesus knew Zacchaeus. He knew he was top of his profession. He was the chief tax collector. And he knew Zacchaeus was wealthy. But Jesus also knew something else. He knew that Zacchaeus was not happy. Despite his prosperity, Zacchaeus was looking for something more. In fact, Zacchaeus' search for something more led him to do something rather silly. Actually, probably we would say undignified. One day, in the middle of town, surrounded by a crowd of fellow citizens, Zacchaeus climbed a tree. That's what little boys do. Little girls, too. Climb trees. Not ruling officials. Not rich men. But Zacchaeus had heard that a new man was coming to town, a visitor with extraordinary powers, someone who, with just a wave of his finger, could heal diseases and feed multitudes, calm storms, a man who had saved many lives, lifting people out of their despair and filling them with meaning and joy. Just the sort of man Zacchaeus was looking for. In fact, a man who reportedly had a special place in his heart for tax collectors. The man's name? Jesus. And Zacchaeus, he just had to find out whether there was something this Jesus could do for him, something to fill the empty places in his heart. He had to see Jesus, even if it meant climbing a tree. Look down at verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. What Zacchaeus saw changed his life. Because Jesus saw all there was to know about Zacchaeus. Look at verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Two men who had never met, and yet look what Jesus knew about Zacchaeus. Jesus knew his tree, stopping at the right spot. Jesus knew his name, looking up and saying, "Zacchaeus." Jesus knew the urgency of Zacchaeus' need. Come down immediately. Jesus knew how to meet Zacchaeus' need. I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus went looking for Jesus and discovered that Jesus was looking for him. And it filled Zacchaeus with a joy he had never experienced before. Look at verse 6. So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. The word in Greek is the word for rejoice. He welcomed him with rejoicing, with great rejoicing. Many of us here this morning have had the same experience with Jesus. Despite having all the advantages of health and education and a measure of prosperity, we still have a hole in our hearts, don't we? And we're not sure how to fill that hole. We climb all sorts of trees, the lofty heights of success, the high expectations of money, the thin air of alcohol, the soaring excitement of sex, but we never seem to climb high enough. We never fill the hole in our hearts. We never find what will fully, ultimately, finally satisfy us. And then one day, it finds us. He finds us. Jesus stops at our tree. He addresses us by name. And he calls out, come down from that tree immediately. I want to stay in your house. I want to fill you with joy. Maybe Jesus is looking for you this morning. Maybe Jesus wants to address you specifically. Stop trying to climb higher on your own. Only I can take you higher. Come down from that tree. I must stay in your house today. How do you respond to Jesus? Well, you might think to yourself, Jesus doesn't want to stay in my house. All the bad things that I've done, the dark secrets I hide in my heart, the steamy websites I visited only this week, the evil wishes that I harbor towards others, the embarrassment of my past mistakes, my lazy days, my wasted nights. Jesus does not want to hang out with me. Well, then, certainly not Zacchaeus either. Verse 7, all the people saw this and they began to mutter, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Right. Zacchaeus was a notorious sinner. Most tax collectors in the first century were. Not only did they demand the required tax in support of Jewish rulers who collaborated with the hated Roman occupiers of their land, of Palestine, but these tax collectors also extorted additional money from the people. Money that they used to line their own pockets to make themselves rich. That's why tax collectors were rich. Because they were traitors and thieves. Jesus, you do not want to hang out with Zacchaeus. Stay away from that house built with defiled money. Don't associate with him. His heart is black with sin. But I wonder if their hearts were any better than Zacchaeus' heart. I wonder whether our hearts are better than Zacchaeus' heart. Like Zacchaeus, we all try to climb higher without God. Make our lives better according to our own selfish desires apart from God, which is our sin. And then we wonder why our hearts aren't full, climbing all these ridiculous trees as we go through life without God. Wherever we climb without God, we will never find what fills the hole in our hearts. Our successes will never satisfy us fully. Our marriages will never blossom fully. Our lives will never thrive fully because of the sin of wandering away from God. It makes an even bigger hole in our hearts. We have only one hope. That God might wander towards us. Here's the good news. God does a whole lot more than wander towards us. He sends his own Son, Jesus, to look for us, to find our tree, to to call our name, to tell us to come down, to stop climbing without Him, to welcome Him into our home, into our hearts, into our lives. How do you respond to a God who, while you are up a tree, comes looking for you? There's only one way to respond. Repent. Repent. Change your mind about life without God. That you can actually make a go of it without your Maker. Change your mind about who He is. He is the God of your life. You are not your own God. Change your mind about life without God. It doesn't work. It leaves you with an empty heart. Zacchaeus, he repented. Look at verse 8. He stood up. He said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of all my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." This corrupt official, with all his dirty money, now giving half of it away and paying back four times what he has stolen. He's making himself a poor man. And most of us would say he's ruining his future. Not even close. Because with Jesus, he has so much more. With Jesus, he is safe for eternity. He is safe for eternity. Look at verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come into this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. He is one of my children. I have adopted him as my own." Love that word, salvation. Salvation. So all we need. We couldn't have more. Salvation from the sin of trying to make a great life for myself apart from God. I'm saved from that utterly futile pursuit. Salvation for the one thing my heart needs most, the only one who can fill up the holes with himself, Jesus, my Savior. Have you repented? Have you turned from your old life and received Jesus? Without Jesus, you are lost. With Jesus, you are saved. But how? If we are lost, how do we find Jesus? We don't. He finds us. Look at verse 10. It's got to be one of our favorite verses in all of God's Word. Verse 10, "The Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost." That's what Jesus is all about. Seeking and saving the lost. Jesus takes the initiative. He finds our tree. He calls our name. He urges us to come down immediately, to turn around, to repent. He invites himself into our lives. Why does he do this for sinners? I mean, after all, Jesus hates what Zacchaeus is doing, the cheating and the stealing. And Jesus hates what we do, making a life for ourselves apart from God. Jesus hates what we do, but he loves what we might become when he comes into our hearts. Have you ever heard anything more wonderful than this? Jesus seeks and he saves sinners like me, like you, like Zacchaeus. Has he saved you? Has he found you? Have you welcomed Jesus into your life with rejoicing? I want you to meet Frankie. There she is. I think Frankie could use a few more pixels. Her photo is rather blurred, but I think you can see the joy in her eyes. A few hours earlier, it was a lot different for Frankie. Here is Frankie. A few hours earlier, she is on her new paddleboard. She's off the coast of Penarth in Wales. She got caught in an offshore wind, which blew her out to sea. The more that she paddled, the farther she was from safety. Now here, her arms are exhausted from battling the wind. Her lungs are burning from trying to reach safe harbor. And in the end, she just collapsed, face down, and held on for dear life. "I thought no one was going to find me," she said later. "I thought I was going to die." Frankie is cold, weary, and lost. Suddenly, one of those famous orange boats from the RNLI, the Royal National Lifeguard Institution, appears and pulls Frankie out of the water. There she is. The BBC televises some of the dramatic rescues in a series called Saving Lives at Sea. I'm sure you've seen it. I love that title because it reminds me of Jesus. Saving lives at sea. Saving lives in the life-threatening sea of sin. We who are lost in the dangerous currents and offshore winds of this world, blown farther and farther away from the safe harbor of God, we have no hope in ourselves of finding our way back to shore, holding on tightly. That's the only thing we have left to do. When suddenly Jesus finds us, comes to our rescue, extends a hand, pulls us into his boat, gives us the gift of salvation, eternal salvation, and now we see Frankie with her blurred but big smile. The men and women who volunteer with the RNLI are on call 24 hours a day, ready to risk their lives and head out into the roughest weather to save the lost. Jesus has been on call for 2,000 years, ready to go into the most hostile environment of all, not to risk his life, no, but to be fully aware that he will actually sacrifice his life, even to the point of dying on a sinner's cross, taking our sins onto himself so they could be lifted off of us to save our lives. What a Savior. What a Savior. Has he saved you? Has Jesus found you? Has he come to your tree watching you try to climb up higher to make a better life for yourselves without God? And has he called you by the name? Has he said, "Hey, Mary, Joe, Simon, Lisa, come down from that tree right now. Don't waste any more time trying to climb higher on your own. I'm here. I want to come into your house. I want to come into your life. I want to come into your heart. Here, take my hand. A hand pierced by nails for you. A hand stained by blood for you. Knowing Jesus, I believe he's coming for you today. It's what he's all about, seeking and saving the lost. If that's you, today, before you leave this room, can be the day of your salvation. Take his hand. Let him save you. It's simple. Jesus has done all the work. He has come and he has died for you. Today, he has found you. Repent. Give him your life. And like Zacchaeus, welcome Jesus with a joy unlike you've ever experienced before. Amen. Pray with me. Father, it is embarrassing to hear the truth. That we've actually been running away from you. Trying to make a life for ourselves, by ourselves, without you. Running away from our God, our Creator. The one who loves us as much as he loves his own Son. Thank you for sending your Son to rescue us. Oh, Father, we want to be able to know you as Father, and Jesus has made that possible. And Father, I just pray for any friends here today who do not know whether they are safe yet for eternity, that today would be the day, today would be their, the day of their salvation. That they would say to you, I want to take the hand of your Son, Jesus, and I want to bring him into my life, and I want to change from my old life, and I want to know the joy and the fullness and the meaning and the hope and the suffering, but suffering that will always be accompanied by your Son, Jesus. Take my life. I'm yours. Thank you, Father, for our salvation in Jesus. Amen.